Howdy-do, buckaroos. This is the after show with Mike and Kelly. Unfortunately, it's going to be our last episode because Mike and Kelly have decided to burn it all down and go churn butter for the rest of their lives.
Not meant to be a factual statement.
Really? I wasn't understating it at all.
Oh, boy.
However, we have decided to forsake all technology more advanced than a butter knife for the foreseeable future.
It is churn-based connected devices. It's all churning.
Yeah, I didn't tell you the butter churn has Wi-Fi. It's on the Internet of Things. Yeah.
The Internet of Churns. The Internet of Amish Things, by the way, is basically the one guy who has the key to the phone booth. That's it. It's Ezekiel.
It is.
So yeah, we're not in a good place. We're just not in a good place.
We're actually kind of impressed that this is all holding together so we can record. Let me just start there.
Oh my God. So it turns out, as Kelly pointed out pre-show, that we, as happens with freshman women's college dorms, we're synchronized. Our cycles are synchronized across the country. We live on not diametric corners, but we live at the upper corners. As if you were, imagine you're folding the United States like it were a sheet, and the spots where you would grab the sheet, not at the upper corners, but a little down. New York City and Portland, Oregon. Portland, Oregon, by the way, staying as weird as it possibly can, and we'll get to that in a minute. You would grab the country in those spots if you were to fold it like a sheet, which, God, somebody should finally clean up the joint. And and we have managed to synchronize not only our technology aggravation this week, but also our hay fever. So,
yes!
You know, cheers to us. Well done.
There you go. It's going to be a great show, you guys.
The Internet of Sniffles.
The Internet of Sniffles. That's exactly what it is.
So how are you doing, Kelly, now that we've established and everything sucks and we want it to end?
Aside from technologically, things are going well. Sun's out. I'm going to be in San Francisco during Dub Dub Week.
Woo!
Which is going to be exciting. There is a high possibility that Mr. Kelly will be joining me on said journey. So we might actually get to play Vacation Time for a little while we're in San Francisco. So that's pretty awesome. Let's see. I mean, I'm sort of at the point where I'm taking good news where I can get it. So, you know, the season finale of The Blacklist didn't make me completely angry because I was totally right.
We're so far behind, I'm not caught up, and it's really doubly annoying because my friend Kelly O'Coin is on The Blacklist.
Yes,
right now.
I know. And I was like, oh yeah. Wait a minute. Because see, like, I came late to the Kelly O'Coin party.
Yes.
So I didn't realize that was who that was. And so then when we were watching the season finale, I was like, oh wait, but that's and then Mr. Kelly was like, eh? no, like I'm pausing and backing up because we like always let it record for a while so we can skip all the commercials. And so I'm like, wait. And I'm like, no, I know him. And then I realized it was I knew him from his Twitter picture.
Yes.
Because we had a whole conversation and you were like, the high ratio of Kellys who are Blazer fans is like giving me a lot of grief tonight.
It was weird.
Yeah. So we started following each other. We talked a few times on Twitter. So Kelly, if you're listening, hello. And we usually save hellos for later in the show, but let's just get that one in at the top. And so I was like, oh, I know him. We've talked on Twitter. And he's, what? Yeah, we talked on Twitter about the ball game. Of course you did, Kelly. And I'm like, no, really? You said it's Kelly too. And yeah.
No, you were yes, dear. In one of those weird Twitter dreams you have.
Yeah. So it was very surprising to me, and I was delighted. It was a very fun thing. And then I was gonna actually mention that later. So hey. Yeah,
there we go.
If you're listening, Kelly, hello. And also, hello Info Driveway. Hello, Chris Fuller.
Because
those are the three that we know for sure.
Do all the hellos. What's the technology?
Oh, and Javier.
And hi, Javi. How's it going?
Hi, Javi.
I mean, I could mention I should mention another. Well, I don't know if he's going to listen, but I should mention.
Well, you should mention him so he will.
I should mention him so he will. That's how it works on the show. This is how we build an audience. One, it's retail politics. So my old friend Charles Ardai, producer of Haven, author of several film noir books or noir books, and also the founder of Juno, the Juno Internet Service. Coincidentally.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So he actually wrote, he just wrote the novelization of the new movie with Russell Crowe and
The Nice Guys?
Ryan, what's his name? Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Hey Girl.
Paul Ryan Gosling. Hey Girl. I want you to have healthcare. By the way, and I know the people who run that Twitter account too. Like, just to close the loop.
I was only half listening to that, and I got Paul Reiser Gosling, which just was very weird and really funny.
Yo, can I tell you?
Hey girl, with this cupcake?
What's going on? That's not even Paul Reiser. That's some other comedian.
It was very, hey girl, what is it with this cupcake?
So there is a Paul Ryan. There's a Paul Ryan Gosling Twitter account.
And it's very funny.
Which is very funny, and it's run in part by my friend Karen Gerwin. So, hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Is this a shout out? It's the shout outs portion of the podcast.
Your Twitter account has made my day better more than one time. Thank you.
Yes, you should follow that. That is our Twitter account recommendation of the week. Is Paul Ryan Gosling? It may be largely quiet right now because Paul Ryan's in sort of a self-enforced quiet period, but but it's worth checking out if you like politics and you like Ryan Gosling. Our previous follow the Twitter account recommendation,
Bat Labels
at Bat Labels, has gone.
This is basically just bananas.
We are the creators of Viral. So at Bat Labels,
Bat Bananas. Would we have to call them Bat Bananas?
Bat Bananas. They
are like crazy underground banana. I'm sure there's a label that says bananas, and it's that one that we mean.
Aaron's little Twitter account at Bat Labels. Not only was the focus of a Twitter moment week, which was fantastic and delightful, but a couple weeks ago, was followed by, wait for it, on the same day, both Mark Hamill and Adam West.
Oh my God. Batman and the Joker are following Bat Labels.
Batman and the Joker and Luke Skywalker. And only, like, it's amazing. So it's just, it's the conversation from him was just like, he's just like, you guys, guess what happened? You guys, and we're all replying with like this incredibly profane, we're sorry for the profanity, but we just don't know what to do with these feelings. He's like, no, it's okay. I'm right there with you. circle of internet fame, but just coming back around to Charles Ardai. So Charles is involved in an organization in New York that is an advocacy organization for gender equality in one specific area, which is the right to be partially or completely naked in public settings. And so...
Well, he has a soft spot for Portland because we have no...
He probably does.
We have no such regulation.
Yes.
So when we have pride parades, there are people who are proud of themselves. We're one of the World Naked Bike Ride locations.
And San Francisco, very similar. Beta Breakers, one of the few, clothing optional road races you can find.
Yes.
But Charles and his creative team, he was the producer, there's a director, and there's a full cast that put on a predominantly naked, all-female production of The Tempest in Central Park.
Wow.
Yes. And this got international press last week. So if you search for Naked The Tempest, I don't recommend you search for that.
I don't recommend you start any search
term for
Naked.
But there's a Huffington Post story about it. And I went to see it, and it was great. It was a great production. And I'll tell you what,
Michael put a link in the show notes to save you the Google.
I really will save you the Google, because then, like... What we're all about here in terms of listener service is saving people from explaining their search history. That's why we're here. Because those are conversations, like, that's a conversation you're never getting that 20 minutes of your life back, basically.
No.
So you don't need that. But that's just the overall cultural landscape But Kelly, what's going on with your technology world that's got you so out of joint?
Well, okay, so we have to go way back to just over 3 years ago when we bought the house we're in now.
Okay.
And it was empty and we were on no sort of compressed time frame to get in. So we were able to do some stuff. Like we were able to, shampoo all the carpets before we moved in, and anything we wanted to paint, we didn't have to move any furniture because it was ours and it was empty. So, but we had other like staying arrangements and all that stuff. So it wasn't a big deal, but we were able to do a lot of stuff that we wouldn't have been able to do if we were living here at the time. So like, it didn't matter if we were painting a room, it didn't matter if it was a bedroom,
right,
and it didn't matter what paint we used because like, we're not going to be there breathing it all night. So it wasn't a problem. So we were looking at doing some stuff and we were looking at like a variety of upgrades, and you know, we started talking about like, well, what about home automation and what about this? And so we ended up, upgrading a few light switches and upgrading a few outlets so that you can control them with your phone.
Good.
By using Z-Wave switches.
Yep. We have a lamp like that in our bedroom right mm-hmm. now. We can say, Alexa, turn on the bedroom lamp. And she goes, okay. And she does.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So Z-Wave switches and outlets. And we got a Wi-Fi connected thermostat.
Nice.
So that the
Ecobee?
No, there was no Ecobee 3 years ago.
Oh,
at least
point.
Not that I could see. At that point, it was Nest.
Yeah.
Or it was, you can get something that has Wi-Fi that maybe you could control with your phone, but really we can't promise anything. I decided I would rather have, because that was still at the point when Nest was sort of proudly anti-integration.
Mm.
And so, so they were like, of course we don't work with anything else. Of course we're not compatible with any other system. We're Nest. And Mr. Kelly took one look at the price of that and said, I can tell them where they can stick that. And so we bought a Honeywell so that we would have a reliable thermostat that happened to have Wi-Fi, which to me seems like the right approach to something important, like it's going to keep you the appropriate temperature most of the time. You probably want it from a company that's really good at thermostats who might have been able to build Wi-Fi into it. So that was the approach we took there. We did a few other upgrades, like the because of the way our house is laid out, we have sort of this hollow center to the house because it's like a split level. So one side of it is two stories, and then off to the other side is like the one story kind of in between, you know, so like each staircase is only like half a set of stairs. So there is one flight of stairs in the whole house, but it's like half of them go up to the bedrooms and half go down to the basement. So the way our house is laid out, there's like this hollow center area. So we were able to use that and like drop a bunch of Ethernet cables because not everything will use the Wi-Fi. And we still didn't know, you know, if the walls were going to be compatible and all that kind of stuff. So dropped a bunch of Ethernet cable. It was a piece of cake. It was awesome. Got the wiring closet set up. I was like, you know, if we're going to put this stuff in here, maybe we should put these other things in here too. And let's just see how it works. And, you know, we got it all like cleaned up and looking nice. And
yeah.
So all the utility stuff is kind of all in the same places. But at the time, we were looking for like, you know, if you're going to have home automation, you have to have a brain to run all this stuff. So what are we going to do? And there really weren't many out there. There were like the 4- and 5-digit home control systems. Like, is it Crestron? Who am I thinking of?
There's a few of them. Crestron.
Not Crestron. Crestron is like
no.
blinds or something.
It was the one that we did a video of that I can never remember.
It starts with an S.
It does start with an S. I can't remember. It's a long time
ago. I'll think it's like, I want to say Savion, and I know that's not it, but it starts with an S.
Tap dancing home control. That's different. It's a whole different thing.
What you did there. I see it.
Yes.
So we looked at like all the different kinds of things, you know, because Mr. Kelly's pretty nerdy. And so we were like, it would be awesome if we could do all of this kind of stuff with our phones. And like, how do you run all of these switches now that we have all these switches? So we ended up settling on a unit from a company called Mi Casa Verde. And it's called Vera is the unit that we bought. And we bought it and it was kind of a lot of money at the time because we were, you know, at Home Depot 3-4 times a week for everything else.
Yeah.
So there was a whole lot of cash outflow at that point anyway. But we were like, well, we could buy this. And there was a lot of consternation about buying it because we were like, that just seems like a, you know, it wasn't like a significant amount of money. It was like $200. which is, you know, not insignificant, but it wasn't like it was thousands of dollars like these other systems were. Savant. Yeah.
Savant, that was it. I'll
Savant
find the video.
Systems. And I knew it would get there. So when we looked at it, I was like, yeah, we could buy it, but you know, it's 1.0. Like, we're going to have to replace it. And it's now that we're looking at buying one, it's probably going to be soon. So we were like, yeah, we'll just have to pay the adopter tax, because then we'll have everything figured out. And then when like the new stuff comes and it's awesome, that'll be great. The new stuff never came. Last year, I wrote an article at Mac Observer pleading my case for why, if we ever get a new Apple TV, it should be the home automation hub.
Of course.
It should be the home automation hub for all of these reasons. And I thought I had made a really logical, well thought out case, because I've been trying to do home automation with all this other stuff forever, and it was failing me. And I knew, and we had already seen that HomeKit was a thing. So it seemed like it should be easier by now. It seemed like it should be better by now. Like, I've been beating my head on this for 2 years. Why isn't anything better than it is? You know, Apple told me they were going to do it. Apple hasn't done it. Here's my vision of how it could be better. Like, I don't know anything about what Apple is doing, but I know what Apple has done for us in the past. I know what I need out of home automation. Here's what I think. And my article seemed pretty well received. Like, a lot of people liked it. A lot of people passed it around. People told me that the case that I made was logical. And, you know, logical is not a word people apply to me very often. So it was kind of nice to hear that. And so it was when you run a house for crackpot theories, logical is not a word people say to you very often, unless it has not in front of it. So I had all these ideas and I had all these hopes, and then we got the new Apple TV, and that was very exciting, and it doesn't do crap. It will listen to you, but for the most part, it seems like most people's experience using Siri on the Apple TV is a lot like my experience ever trying to use voice recognition software before Siri, which is it'll recognize about 60% of what you're telling it, but it's not the 60% that's actually going to get you anywhere.
It's all the pronouns. That's basically what
it is. Like, that's what it's going to tell you. And so it was always frustrating. And so, like, it just gets more frustrating, like, you know, over time. And for me, like, part of the problem is that I've spent the last couple of weeks trying to sort some things out, because Mr. Kelly bought an Echo, and it works. It's great.
Yeah, it works.
It does. It for the most part, it will do what you ask it to do, and it's pretty easy to tell it to do many things. Like, I never have to give any sort of tips, like, have you tried asking a different way? Have you tried asking using these words instead of what you just said? You know, whatever. So in the last little while, I have watched Mr. Kelly try to turn the lights off using Siri. And I've also listened to him try to turn the lights off using the Echo. And the Echo basically does it every time. And every so often, it's more like Siri wants to maybe turn them off, but maybe not, but maybe play Duran Duran instead. And that was my phone. So it's been like a really frustrating experience. And then every so often something happens with the home automation brain that we have, and I have to go in and sort of remind it that all of these devices actually still are here and still like waiting to be controlled. And so I've been beating my head against that. And now there's another thing that I'm trying to do with my Raspberry Pi. I have a little Raspberry Pi that I'm trying to set up. And what it's supposed to do, ultimately, when I'm done with all of this, if I don't end up launching it through the nearest window, is it will masquerade to the Echo as though it's just another Hue hub. And in reality, it's going to bridge over to the Vera and translate between the two. So
you knew there was trouble when it was named after a guest waitress on Alice, that things were not going to go well.
It is so funny that to me, everything has like a 50s grandmother name.
Hey, Vera.
Yeah, so
turn
that's
off
Vera.
The lights.
And you know who competes with Vera? Who? Lowe's has named theirs Iris.
You're right. That's true.
Yeah. And there's another, there's a third one that I can't remember the name of, but I've just started giving like all the non-personal computer technology in our house all has like 50s grandma names. So like we have a the Ratchio sprinkler system, and I named it Bertha.
Irma.
And I think the TiVo's name is Gladys. So yeah.
We named the TiVo Indiana.
And there's the show title.
Couldn't help myself. Just really couldn't help myself.
No, I figured that's where he's headed. I could hear it. I could hear it coming all the way across
the
country.
You heard the rock rolling through the cave, basically. That's what
I did. Yes. So I've been sort of fighting with getting the Raspberry Pi to do what I want it to do because I'm not very good at the command line. Like, I'm not afraid of it, and I can Google around and I can try to find enough stuff that's going to help me make it work. But sometimes really basic things, for whatever reason, are sort of stymieing to me. And I've been trying to like wrap my head around like four different varieties of mobile device management for a separate project. And I've been trying to hold down like the tech support day job in the meantime. And, you know, like, and then, you know, and then weird stuff happens. Like, my mom calls me and says that her text messages don't show numbers anymore.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, I'm not sure what that means, Mom. And so she told me, you know, when you get a message and it shows you on your screen, there's like a one. Oh, you mean a badge? Yeah, a badge. I don't have a badge anymore. You sent me a message and there's no badge. And I don't have any noises anymore either. Remember how, because this is the kind of stuff my mom says to me. You remember how my phone used to yell at me when Ernie sent a text? Yes. Okay. Well, it doesn't do that anymore. And I don't know why. Because I found, so my mom's husband's name is Ernie. And I found in the ringtone store, on your iPhone, there's a Sesame Street section. And so I was listening to all the Sesame Street alert noises, and they have one where Bert goes, Ernie! So I bought it for my mom so that when her husband texts her, she knows exactly who it is and probably exactly what her reaction is going to be. So I am endlessly entertained by the fact that I set this up for my mom and she never undid it. And so I know that at some point my stepdad is texting her and her phone, wherever it is in the house, is going, Ernie! And it makes me laugh. So, because I'm the favorite, of course. So, and things like this are why. So, it turned out all she needed to do was restart her phone. But it's like everybody's, like, as a, because I'm tech support for everybody, I'm having to solve like problems on like eight different fronts.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm, and for a lot of the stuff that I'm working on, either there is no solution or the solution is not very easy. And so aside from my mom's like, have you tried restarting your phone? See if that gets you anywhere. Aside from that, like most of the rest of them have been some sort of giant technological tragedy. So where I'm at.
Well, yeah.
It could have something to do Mercury in retrograde, sunspots.
Mercury
like,
retrograde.
I don't even know.
So the Portland staying weird thing I wanted to mention earlier was that apparently your police chief is on leave right now because he shot a friend. He pulled a Cheney. On a hunting trip, he shot a buddy with like a 20, like a pellet gun, basically. Didn't shoot him. Mm-hmm. Didn't hurt him. I mean, it hurt him. It hurt, but it didn't injure him permanently. And but at the time, they said, "Oh, he accidentally shot himself." And then, like 4 days later, the police chief went and said, "Like,
you would think that, especially here, because whenever we have something like this, so like the first thing that happened was they said, the Portland police chief was on a hunting trip with his friend who shot himself. And when you say it like that, particularly as a newscaster, you're just like, oh, my God, like poor police chief that his friend killed himself. No. Because like you said, it was a pellet gun, basically.
Didn't really hurt.
So yeah, probably pride injured more than anything else. Then we find out that the reason there's any sort of investigation is because initially they had said the friend shot himself, but it's sounding more like the chief may have shot him on accident. Then we found out the latest and greatest on this story, at least because I haven't heard anything today. The latest and greatest on this story was that they told the police a different story than what actually happened, and that the chief had been drinking at the time.
Oh, had he really? Wait, are you saying that in this mysterious incident where somebody was accidentally shot that alcohol was involved? What are the odds?
Indeed.
What has that in the history of the Republic, has that ever happened before? Jeez Louise.
So, yeah, he... I'm trying to think if there was anything else that went into the story, because I don't think so. I think the last that I had heard was they think that he did shoot him. They said that he might have been drinking at the time, and now the chief is on leave. That's like the latest I've heard about the story. So, yeah. You'd think we'd be a little better at stuff like this out here.
You would think. Well, but you never know. You'd think you'd have it figured out by now. Maybe it's all the marijuana. Who can say? my technology.
You know, that's an approach I haven't tried to troubleshooting. Just, you might be onto something, Rose.
Let's try it. Let's try it high. Let's see what happens.
Hold on a minute while I look on WebMD and see what marijuana will do for your sinuses.
I have to, like, I'm hitting the mute button for every snort, but I'm missing a few, and it's just, So, anyway, yeah, I mean, you could take two Benadryl and call me in the morning, but it's not going to help.
No.
So, my technology aggravation this week is, it's manifold. Where to even begin?
Well, let's start with why we're recording at 10:30 at night your time.
Well... Hashtag family tech support. And I know, I doubt.
You can just stop it at family. Hash brown family.
Hash brown family. I doubt the family member in question is going to listen to the show, but my beloved stepmother, and she's great, and she is wonderful. Although we did years ago nickname her, give her initials like a hip hop star, EWS, which stood for Evil Wicked Stepmother. Anyway, no, she's great. She is great. And she, a couple weeks ago said, "Hey, get a new job," which is fantastic. New real estate job. I need to be able to run this software and this software, this VPN, this remote desktop, this application. I said, "Well, your, 2011 vintage MacBook."
Maybe not.
Core 2 MacBook is not going to do that. You can't go past 10.6.8. We've talked about this for a long time.
Yeah.
So anyway, we went
you
back.
You and I have talked about this. Yeah. You and I having casually discussed, well, if she's ever going to get a new computer, and it's probably time, then this is what should happen. Yeah.
Not only have we discussed it on the after show, we discussed it on the Tua Talkcast.
On the Tua after show.
That's how long. And remind me about that in a minute, because I want to have a professional, funny professional moment. So anyway, so she's needed a new computer for a while.
Oh, yeah.
We went back and forth, and she said, "What should I get?" And I made my recommendation. I said, "You need a MacBook, the current generation MacBook Air, 8 gig, 8/128. That's what you should get. And you should get the top, get the fastest model, get the 1.6 or whatever." Sure. I made a recommendation. I said, "This is what you should get." And she came back and she said, "Well, could I get this one instead? This one, which is can I get the previous gen? Because it's $300 cheaper." I said, "No, you can't."
No.
I said, "Don't do that, because the battery life difference alone, forget the performance increase.
Oh yeah,
the battery life difference alone is going to be very dramatic. You can't go
so much and so worth it to you. Too.
So worth it.
Yeah,
very important." So I said, "This is my recommendation. Get it." So then she comes back. She's like, "Well, what if I get this one instead? Can I get with the 4 gig one?" I'm like, "No, you can't. You can't. You got to get this one."
Just
And then it went back, should I get the new MacBook with the USB-C? He's like, "Well, yeah, I mean, if you're going to plug it into a monitor, it's cool, but then you have to adapt." It's we went back and forth, and this took a day or two of emails and back and forth, And I said, look, and I basically said, look, this is my recommendation. You don't have to take it, but this is what I think you need. This is what I think you should get.
Right.
And so that's what she got. She ordered it. She got it. So then I was traveling. She called. She said, I got the new computer. Can I set it up? I said, well, I'm not available. Could you, you know, could you check with other brother, my brother Rich, and like who is also tag team tech support at Rich Rose.
Hi, Rich.
I said, we're busy right now. I'm busy. I'm traveling. I could talk to you tomorrow. She's no, I'll talk to Rich about it. And then he wasn't available, and then I wasn't available. And then a week later, she calls or she emails and says, you know, I feel like I'm missing some stuff. I have the new machine set up. I feel like I'm missing some stuff. And can you help me out?
How is the new machine set up? I wasn't there. Oh, God.
I was like, wait a minute. I was like, well, did he help you with this? Oh, no, we couldn't connect. Like, well, what did you do? Well, you know, I transferred the stuff from the backup and it was fine, but I'm just missing a few things. I want to get it cleared up. I'm like, okay, that's weird, but okay. So tonight, like, made an appointment to call. I had to run and do some errands. We finally got on the phone, you know, 8:30, 9:00. I said, what happened? She said, well, I restored it because when I was setting up the new machine, it said, you know, do you want to restore from another computer or from a backup? I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I took the backup drive and I said, the backup drive. So I'd restore it from the backup drive. I said, okay, how current was the backup drive? And she said, well, I know that I unplugged it when I went to Baltimore back in March. I said, well, I said, what about all the work you did between March and now? She's like, oh, but it wasn't that much. It wasn't that much. I was like, but okay. If you think so, okay. So we go look at her new computer. I should have taken a screenshot because I swear to God, she's got a dock with 25 apps in it and 18 of them are question marks.
Oh, God.
And I was like, okay, well, let's leave that aside for the moment. Let's go find your files. We found that, like, she puts all her work in one folder. I was like, okay, I can't explain why your work folder is inside a subfolder inside the pictures folder, but let's leave that. Let's put a pin in that.
Yeah.
Let's look in this folder.
Let me solve the problem in front of me. Missing stuff.
You're okay. Missing stuff. I look, and there's only, like, two things in this folder. It's like, okay, this isn't right. We determine March backup. I was like, okay. Okay, we're going to have to do this. We're going to have to do this migration again. We have to set up your VPN again. We're going to have to do this again. But could you please go to the old computer, plug in the backup drive, and go into the system preferences. And of course, it's 10.6.8. So in case you're not aware, almost everything you can do to remotely connect to a machine running 10.6.8 within the past 3 months has been deprecated. So join me doesn't work anymore. TeamViewer doesn't work anymore. GoToMeeting doesn't work anymore. Like, nothing works anymore. Nothing. Chrome remote desktop doesn't work. Like, nothing works. So it makes it extremely difficult to troubleshoot this older machine because nothing you do can share the screen.
Nothing's actually working. Yeah.
Nothing's working. So anyway, I said, mirror what I'm doing on the new machine. Because Join Me is like snappy. It's great. It's working perfectly on El Capitan. Not so good on Mountain Lion. And I said, go into system preferences, go into time machine. Okay, fine. Click the options button. Okay. Now, what is excluded from your backup? She's like, I don't know what you mean. I was like, okay, in the list of things that is in front of you, right now on the new computer, you'll notice there's nothing in the list. On the old computer, tell me what's in the list. She's like, oh, yeah, a crap load of stuff. I said, okay. Oh, so that would be the source of the missing applications.
Yeah, this might be why,
Oh, my God. So we're backing it up tonight, and like, she's, you know, she completely owned it. She's like, yeah, I definitely should have called you. I'm like, well, you know, we could have, instead of like spending the 2 days on figuring out what computer you were going to buy, we could have spent like 2 hours making sure the migration went well. But hey, you know what? Live and learn. So that was what I was dealing with earlier tonight. But my big technology aggravation of the week actually was not Mac related. It was iOS related. I have a Mac related one. I have a Mac related one, which is that my favorites keep dying. Like in Chrome or in other applications, you go to save and you have the favorites on the left-hand side and they just don't stick.
Don't.
They're gone. So it's very difficult to save things. But I'll figure that out eventually. The problem I had been dealing with was on my iPhone, my work provided 6 Plus.
Uh-huh.
Search, broken. Just broken. You swipe right to left or left to right on the home screen. Go to search, type something, and nothing shows up. All the solutions. Turn off all the search, hard restart the device, turn contacts back on. Didn't work. Nothing worked. Siri search worked fine, but I can't be talking to the damn thing all the time.
True.
And you like, and you realize after a while that, you know, you depend on search for those applications that you've hidden away and you can't remember where they are.
Yeah.
So like every time I went to launch YouTube, for example, is it in TV or is it in videos or is it in the Google folder? I have no idea.
No clue.
And it's like two screens deep in every folder. You can't find it. So the lack of search was driving me up the wall. And basically, when I researched this into the ground and tried all the other approaches, what it came down to was the only way to do this is a backup and restore. That's the only reliable way to fix it. And I'm thinking to myself, I do not need this aggravation. I really don't. I just, it's like, it's going to be a day out. Oh, don't need it. So, but I went ahead and I say, I have to bite the bullet. I have to do it. The big thing I was worried about, honestly, was that I have Google Authenticator on my phone. And I'm thinking to myself, I've got all these one-time password codes, you know, generating here. And everything I'm reading says the Google Authenticator won't restore. Like, you're not going to get these back. So I actually had to go to Microsoft, to Evernote, to, you know, anywhere, to Google, anywhere I had a two-factor authentication setup, and go get a new barcode and generate a new code and get that set up on my iPad. I'm like, I don't want to be locked out of my account, so I really need to do this. So I went through all that due diligence and did it all again and saved, like, made sure it was working.
Right.
Reset the phone, backed up the phone, pulled the AirWatch, pulled the MDM off it because you can't back that up and restore it. It breaks things. Did all the things. Restore the phone. Get the MDM set back up. Like, all of it, it's all painful and slow and just takes a while. And of course, when you restore a phone now on iOS 9, if you don't happen to have all the applications in your iTunes, it's going to go get them in the background, which for the first hour and a half looks like it's basically doing nothing. Like, all your apps are gray and you don't.
And point out that that's the first 90 minutes.
The first 90 minutes. The next 7 hours, assuming your Wi-Fi is nice and brisk, is fine. And you just leave it, and the next morning it's all fine. But yeah,
and
it's
actually
like,
looks like things at that point.
Yeah, like things are happening. But you have to wait and be extremely patient. And I hate to wait.
It's the worst.
It's the worst. So anyway, so that's all happening. And but one of the early apps that restored back was Google Authenticator. And guess what? It does now. It actually holds your settings, which is, I got to say, marvelous. And in fact, almost without exception, every app came back to a previous known good status terms of authentication. I think the only ones that didn't were the Google apps that had a work auth that I would have to do, and Salesforce One, which also had a work auth I had to do. But but everything else sort of came, like health came back with all its data and like all the other stuff. They came back like they never left, which was great. I really appreciated that. I just would have liked to have known that Google Auth was going to be one of the ones that would come back, so I wouldn't go to all this aggravation. I mean, yes, right. Everybody, if you have two-factor auth set up, make sure you have your recovery codes. Make sure you have that stuff stored away someplace safe, maybe in 1Password, for example. But but just for the record, iOS 9.2, 9.3, Google Authenticator will back up and restore. People out there saying that it won't, that's old data. It will. Which saves, it's hooray. It saves you a lot of time if you know about it in advance. Yeah. And it's still a good idea if you have two iOS devices, or if you have an app like 1Password or another app on your Mac where you can have those one-time passwords being generated. It's a good idea to have them both set up, just, you know, belt and suspenders. But nevertheless, Google Authenticator will come back with its codes intact. Had I known that, I could have saved myself a lot of freaking aggravation. So that's my tech aggravation of the day, of the week.
So let's talk about a good work thing for you.
Okay. Because
you said you had we were talking about the two-hour video that you did for Savant.
I did. Thank you for reminding me. So this week, on Wednesday, was the Salesforce World Tour in New York City at the Javits Center, which is our one-day mini conference. Not so mini. We had about 5,000 people this year, but it's our mini Dreamforce. So it's a one-day conference.
Okay.
And I'm going to sneeze.
Let's talk for a minute about how 5,000 people is a mini conference. Let's just let that sink in for a minute while we wait for Mike's head to explode.
Salesforce World Tour, not yet a sponsor. so yeah, it was great. We had a lot of fun. We had a bunch of people, and it was a great show. And one of the things we were doing was a breakout session for our admins, our awesome admins. We have on the Salesforce platform, Salesforce ecosystem, we have fantastic admins who are the sort of point person, the responsible person within their company for Salesforce. They do an incredible job. Shout out to Cheryl Feldman, one of our awesome admins. Yay. And shout out to Mike Gerhold. So Mike Gerhold is a guy, if you've heard of the podcast Button Click Admin, it's one of the most popular podcasts on the Salesforce side of the fence. Mm-hmm. And Mike started that podcast a few years ago and eventually came to work for Salesforce. So now his hobby became his livelihood. So Mike is our admin evangelist. And he was presenting this session on for new features for Salesforce admins. And the other person responsible for the session, who is a woman named Chris Landy, who's our admin marketing manager, she emailed me and she said, "Hey, would you co-present with Mike? Would you do the demo for Mike's set for the session?" I said, "Sure," because Chris is great, and I'm a Mike Gerhold fan. I like his podcast. I'm a fan of his work. So I was excited. I get to work with Mike. Get to meet Mike. Great.
Yay.
So we meet up on Wednesday. We're walking through the presentation. We're going through everything. I was like, "Here's my demo," and he says, "So, I ran into Alex, a mutual friend of ours upstairs, and he was saying he's talking about you." And he said, "Oh," and he said something. And he's like, and Mike says, "So you used to work at TUAW?" I said, "I did. I was there for a long time." He said, "So I got to tell you, that site was my." You know, morning coffee website. That was the one that was my Mac News site that I checked every day. And I said, "You know, I really, it warms the cockles of my heart to hear you say that."
Me too.
So, circle of internet fame. So that was exciting. And he couldn't have been more gracious about it. And he was very, very, it was very thoughtful of him to say it. And the session went great. So, I would encourage you, if any of you are curious about the enterprise software world and you like hearing great stories from people who are in the trenches implementing Salesforce in their organizations, you could go to buttonclickadmin.com. And what will happen, and I'm just testing this because I don't want to lie. So if you go to buttonclickadmin.com, you should get redirected, because not only did we hire Mike, we hired his whole brand. You'll get redirected to admin.salesforce.com. And you will see the podcast. And he actually interviewed Giuseppe Hammer, who's a guy I know, on the podcast this week. So you'll see Mike's podcast, and you'll get to hear from him. His audio quality is excellent.
Nice.
And now, you'll notice if you go to the podcast, you'll see that there's a hashtag button click guest. So if you hashtag button click guest and you say, "You should have Mike T. Rose on your podcast," I think we could make that happen. So that would be exciting. But yeah, that was my like sort of crossing the streams experience for the week. It doesn't happen that much anymore, I'll tell you, because you know we're now sort of a year and a half past the sunsetting of the site. But the older folks, you know, the people have been around for a while, the cooters, the codgers. Every now and then, somebody will say, "Hey, are you the Mike Rose from Tua?" And it always works.
Let me tell you that if you are someone who is or is currently or has or gets the opportunity to work on some sort of project that is extremely publicly facing, the way Tua was, the way a lot of this stuff ends up being, you know, if you maintain a website that people read, or you have a YouTube channel that's really popular or whatever, if you are a fan of that, it doesn't matter that it was a year and a half ago that Tua effectively ended for us. It would still make me unbelievably happy to hear from somebody who said Tua was special to me in some way, however small that way was. If it was, "I really liked reading all of Erica's developer stuff." If it was, "I really miss Truthbuster Chris Rawson." If it was, "I really miss the podcast because I like listening to Kelly," or whatever it was. Like, it doesn't even have to be me, because I was still a part of Tua. And anything that ever is important to you in that particular whatever it is, like, let those people know. It's super important that, because it will always make them happy. It doesn't matter how long ago it was. It doesn't matter if it was like the first thing they did, so maybe the audio quality wasn't great, or if it was a YouTube channel, like they were shooting it with like mom's old hand-me-down cell phone, and so like the camera may have been crap, but they were really interesting, and then they upgraded to better equipment as time went on. Whatever it is super heartwarming to find out that you made any kind of difference for somebody. So like I'm getting like the contact high off of Mike's circle of internet fame, because it makes me really happy that there's somebody out there for whom Tua made such an impression that he was able to put that together and then tell you that that was an important site to him. And one of my favorite things ever that came from Tua was standing at Macworld one day. The last year we had a booth, and having a woman walk up to me and tell me how she read every single article on Tua every single day, and she was new to the Mac, and some of it didn't make sense to her, but she knew she would remember reading it, and later she could go back and look it up and it would make more sense to her next time. And it was like the best thing anyone could have ever said to me. Like, you help me in a way that is fundamental to my life because I spend a lot of time on my computer. And it was so the nicest thing. And for people who don't know, I volunteer with AppCamp for Girls, and the operations manager at AppCamp for Girls recently passed away. I currently have a friend in the hospital whose body is rebuilding itself after a pretty serious round of chemo.
Oof.
And Mike and I both have a mutual friend, Tom Negrino, who has posted on his website that part of the reason he's had a lot of health troubles recently is because it was bad reactions to the potent chemo that they were trying to use to fight the cancer that is ultimately going to kill him. So when you add all of this to the normal comings and goings of people's lives, this is a thing that I've been thinking a whole lot about lately, and being grateful and being appreciative of the people that you have in your life. And so I'm really not trying to drag anything down, and I have like funny stuff I can tell you guys about later. But if you ever get the opportunity to meet somebody who makes something that you like, then please, 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 please take a second to tell them. A tweet. Tweets make me happy. If you can send an email, if you can meet that person in person. I have more than one time had, like, you know, we'd go to the Tua meetups and like get to sit and have a conversation with somebody and then have them be like, I'd like to buy you one of whatever you're drinking, like as a thank you for all the stuff that you guys do for us. And that sort of stuff is awesome. Like, don't be creepy. Yeah. But if you ever get an opportunity to thank somebody for something that they do that makes you happy, please take that opportunity. Because it's only a couple seconds out of your life. But like, I've told the story of that woman on the show floor at Macworld so many times because it makes me so happy to this day. And that was like 2011.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it sticks with you. I mean, the fact
is really, that really, really does.
Stuff like that. That you sort of spin this stuff out into the void, and not unlike the podcasting experience, although it's a little different, but the connections that you make with folks via this medium tend to be a little weird. It's mediated in an odd way, and the fact that there are real people behind the screen, behind the microphones, behind the websites sometimes gets lost. Never doubt that your feedback and your willingness to reach out and say, I liked what you did. Never doubt that it makes a difference. It really definitely does.
It absolutely does. Because you know what? Every one of those moments that you take and that you spend telling someone else about what they do that you like, that you appreciate, that you enjoy, we take each of those threads. And that's what we use to weave the fabric of the bulletproof vest against all the people that say we should stop, should be fired.
The asbestos underwear.
Yes.
We need the flameproof underwear.
The flameproof underwear, because there's people that say we should be stopped, we should be fired, we should be quiet, we should go away. Like, and these are the nice people. I'm not even going to tell you what the not nice people say because we don't want an explicit tag. And for serious, every one of those, hey, what you guys did at Tua was awesome. Hey, the after show is really fun to listen to. Every single one of those is worth 100 people that say you suck. Easily.
Pretty much.
And what I remember is the people who were nice to me. And I don't remember the people who were who went out of their way to say that we were wrong or dumb or fanboys or whatever. So I just want to point that out. And I wanted to also I also wanted to point out that there's a very interesting discussion going on in Portland right now.
As there often is.
Well, I'm going to pander to Kelly Acoin because we were talking about fun Portland news earlier, that it's entirely possible that Damian Lillard may end up falling under the Derrick Rose rule, which means he would get like a bonus kicked into his salary because I think he just made like
first team all NBA or second team
first team all NBA. Yeah, yeah. Something like that. I don't remember which one it was, but he made it. And so like, that's another piece of the thing. And the reason this is interesting is because of the salary cap and all the kind of stuff that we've ended up having to do. And we should talk a little bit about basketball because my heart is broken, but let me tell you, it has been super fun to watch the next round. Yeah. To watch the Dubs and the Sonics throw down against each other has been really entertaining. And I just realized I said Sonics.
Wow. Wait, are you going to send a telegram?
Well, as Victor always used to say, and Pan Am still flies to Havana, right? That's right.
And Eastern, I got to transfer from Eastern to Piedmont at Idlewild. It's going to be a giant pain in the ass. That game is actually going on right now. It's the end of the third quarter with Golden State.
Oh,
with
the score?
No, with Golden State up by 4.
What?
4 points.
Aren't they still in OKC?
They are. No, they're back at Golden State.
They're in Oracle?
Yeah.
And the Dubs are only up by 4?
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, I mean, with and Oklahoma City leading the series 3-1, this is...
Yeah, I know. Like, this could be it for the whole shooting shebang. And I do want to say, I'm going to put this on record because we're recording right now. I'm going to go out on a limb and say whoever wins between the Sonics and the Warriors is going to win the whole thing. You can mark my words on that. I'm going to go ahead and say
You said the Sonics again.
I know. I'm owning it. I'm just going to kick it old school for the rest of the show.
The Oklahoma City Sonics.
Yes.
The Seattle Thunder.
No, it's still a load of crap. They moved away and I'm like retroactively mad about it. But yeah, anyway. So another interesting basketball note is that... the last I heard, it was like all but official that one of the Blazers assistant coaches is going to move on to become an assistant coach in Golden State to take the place of, is it Luke Walton? I don't remember his first name, but I know his last name is Walton.
Luke Walton is the assistant, yes.
And Luke Walton is going to become the head coach of the LA Lakers next year.
Ooh.
So he's leaving. And... so now that he's leaving, his position is going to be taken by one of the assistant coaches in Portland, whose name is escaping me at the moment. And my browser has frozen up so solidly, I don't know if I'll ever get it back. So I can't look it up and tell you. But that's what's happening in basketball. And this makes me a little bit sad, although now that they don't have to build the team in LA around Kobe anymore, maybe LA stands a chance of not being a dumpster fire anymore, because even at the beginning of this last season, when Portland wasn't doing very well at all and sort of fulfilling all of those expectations that everybody had, that this was a rebuilding year and that we weren't going to do anything fun or interesting or cool and it was going to be really painful to watch and all the bandwagoners were all going to bail, there was still one of the Twitter accounts I love that I follow for Blazers information every day would tweet, "This is your daily reminder that the Trailblazers have a better record than the Lakers do." And it was true, like all season, even when we were really bad, we were still better than the Lakers. And beat LA is a thing here. Like, we were only kind of casual rivals with the Sonics when there were still Sonics. Mostly it was LA. Like, it was us against the Lakers like all the time. And I don't know why, and I don't know how come that one was the rivalry, but that one was always the rivalry. And so beat LA is totally a thing. And like, I had to get rid of my Magic Johnson shirt when I moved to Portland because reasons. And because Magic Johnson was pretty amazing. Like, you can't get around that. You know, there was no question there. But anyway, so it's going to be interesting to see I think what happens with the Lakers next year, because they're also not saddled with, we have to give the ball to Kobe no matter what kind of shape he's in, which seemed to be their playbook for the last couple of years. So
yeah, pretty much.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. So for all those people out there who think it's weird to listen to a girl talk about sports, I'm really sorry about the last 5 minutes.
Nobody thinks that.
Oh, they do. Because I've had a couple people go out of their way to tell me on Twitter that I should stop doing that.
Oh, really? All right. Yeah. Well, they should knock that shit off.
Yeah. But if you're going to tell me that on Twitter, maybe you should go outside. Maybe you need a cookie and a hug. If this is really the best use of your time, maybe you just don't need to listen to anything I have to say, because clearly you cannot be educated. Okay, bye. So
yeah,
you can tell. Yeah, bye, Felicia. You can tell it keeps me up at night. So yeah, anyway.
But what is going to be keeping you up at night is the post-nasal drip. So
what I did want to do was take a moment to talk about that, because I'm sort of hoping it will be shameless pandering to one of our hopeful listeners.
Okay.
One Mr. Kelly O'Coin, who will be very excited to hear Blazer talk, I think, on the show. And I'm also very curious what you guys think, who are listening, about the finals. And I want to know before the finals start. So I want to know in the next couple of weeks, in the next week or so, while we wrap all of this up, hopefully we can get the show out the door in that amount of time. Mike.
Okay. Hey.
So I want to know what you guys think. Do you guys think the West owns this regardless of who comes out of this series alive? Or do you think it's really going to be a toss up? Because I have to admit, it was fun to watch Toronto. Like, I'm not going to lie. Those were fun ball games to watch. But I feel like if you can go toe to toe against the Golden State Warriors, there's something really special there. And I don't think that just in like only about Portland. I think the exact same thing about the Sonics. Yes, you heard me. And I'm just sticking with it. Like I said, I'm just going to own it for the rest of the show. Partly because it's really fun to talk about the Sonics being in the playoffs, because that's really not a thing. So it makes me happy. So I want to know if you guys think the West is going to dominate this, or if you think that it could really be anybody's game, given what we've got coming out of the East. Because the West has, for a really long time, the West has been a really, really tough conference. And like, even a really mediocre team in the West could be completely dominant in the East if they were just getting to play those teams. So I want to, you know, like on paper, when you look at the records of like, you know, the teams in the East going to the playoffs versus the teams in the West going to the playoffs, like it's been very disparate for a long time now. So I want to hear what you guys think. Mike, let them know how they can tell us what they think. How can they get a hold of us?
How can they get a hold of us? You guys can reach us. You can reach us. You can reach us. We're easy to reach. We are reachable at @_aftershow on the Twitters. The website is aftershowpodcast.com. You can reach me at Mike T. Rose on Twitter. And you can reach Kelly at Verso, V-E-R-S-O. Kelly, where can the peoples find you nowadays? Other than, you know, where I already mentioned.
Aside from the Tweety box. Well, you can find me beating my head against my Raspberry Pi.
which is messy, but also and tasty.
And not a euphemism. That's probably what's going to end up happening. You can find me testing various home automation devices for aerodynamicness in my backyard. You can also occasionally find me over at the Mac Observer. I'm occasionally on the Daily Observations podcast, and I've got some stuff to say that's going to start showing up there very shortly. You can sometimes find me on the British Tech Network, and recently, if you're a House of Cards fan, you can find me on Jackie Hearn's House of Cards podcast over at the British Tech Network on BritishTechNetwork.com.
Wow.
And we had a really fun time discussing the most recent episode, not the most recent episode, the most recent season and the most recent episode of House of Cards. So if you really want to hear me go full crackpot theory, you can absolutely do so on the show, because I actually thought I had this crazy theory idea, and I laid it out for Mr. Kelly, who said I was obviously crazy. And then I went to look at what had happened in the UK series, and it turns out that the UK series lends weight to my theory. So if you want to find out what on earth I'm talking about, you can go find out by listening to Jackie Hearn's show at BritishTechNetwork.com.
That is a tall order indeed, but you can go check it out. Also recommend, this is our video of the week. You can go check out at mademan.com, not a mafia site.
That's too bad.
I know. Mademan.com is part of the Defy Network, the Defy Media Content Network.
Okay.
And as it is a men's lifestyle site, it's talking, of course, this week about Memorial Day grilling. So the top feature on the site is a video about how to make burgers like a man. This video, produced by a friend of the show, Josh Frulinger, was filmed in my backyard. So, hey. So if you'd like to get a picture, a sense of what it might be like to grill in my backyard, you can watch this video as it is mademan.com.
We will have it
in the show notes.
Another thing that's very funny, a footnote to this, is that I decided to try out Periscope. A friend of mine got on Periscope and said, I'm attending a conference about like social media marketing, and they said that you like totally need to be on Periscope, and told everybody Periscope right now. So I'm trying it. And then I was like, hey, you know, if you can do this, like I'm going to do this. So I will go, like I tell everybody about my backyard. So I'm going to go take Periscope and show people it. And I went in the backyard and like 30 people watched me show them, like, here's the roses in my backyard. Here's the land speeder I stuck in the ground in my succulent garden. Here's the bantha that I stuck in my succulent garden. Cause I basically want the succulent area to be a fairy garden, but Star Wars. So that's what I'm aiming for. So I was like showing that, and it was like the beginning of April. So my roses had just started to jump off. It's crazy. I cut them down knee high every year, and like three of them now are taller than me. And there's like roses everywhere, and all the stuff in the herb garden is like growing all over everything. And it like looked really great. And it was just really funny to me, like, cause I was doing it like around lunchtime, and Mr. Kelly came home and was like, what'd you do today? And I'm like, I showed 30 people on the internet what the backyard looks like because I live in the future. So there you go.
As well, you should. Score is 91-81 Warriors Thunder.
Oh,
So the Dubs are up by 10 with 9 minutes to play.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well.
It could go either way.
Go Sonics. We will be back in a few weeks. Hopefully Mercury will have crawled out of retrograde and the pollen will have crawled out of our sinuses. Thank you, guys. I also
look forward to everyone's tales of technological woe. Please share them with us and let us know we're not alone in this.
Hashtag please. After show misery. We will be back in a couple weeks. And in the meantime, on behalf of Kelly, I'm Mike, and we wish you all a very good night.